How many of you want to know how to change your life? You know, on Wednesday night, I just try to just talk to you about stuff that can help you with your life. Now, I'm going to read the story of blind Bartimaeus and, you know, in Mark 10, beginning with verse 46. And then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And I'll slow down because I can see people didn't even get there yet. I went too fast. I'm sorry. I forget, and I have to slow down. Mark 10, and I'm reading it out of the NIV version, okay? If some of you that's got your devices there, it's got the different translations. All right, let's pick up at verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and called him. So they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling for you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, as most of you know, I usually use this portion of scripture and preach healing message from it. But tonight I want to use these scriptures and talk about changing your life. You know, you'll say, "Well, hey, God's in control of my life." Yes, that's true, but we also have a part to play. So I want to share a few things tonight that I think will help us get our lives changed. Now, you know, isn't it funny how that we don't want to assume responsibility sometimes for our own selves? You know, it was most likely with blind Bartimaeus as somebody had to help him. You know, he was blind. He couldn't see. So probably somebody helped him around to different places. He didn't have no seeing eye dog or anything like that. Someone had to tell him about stuff and colors and different things and things he needed to live. And up to that moment, he was dependent on somebody else to help him. Now, it all changed when he heard that Jesus was around. He did something out of the ordinary. He didn't wait for somebody to tell him to do something. He, at that moment, took responsibility for himself. You see, you know, a lot of times when we don't want to take responsibility and we always lay it off on somebody else. Now, how many of you in here had a brother or sister? How many times did they lay it off on you or you lay it off on them? "No, it wasn't me, Mama. It wasn't me. It was sis. It was Pat. It was her. She did it." You know. Come on. Don't, you know. But in Bartimaeus' case, he had to depend on somebody. He could not take, he couldn't go out. I mean, he'd walk out in front of a camel and get run over. Well, they didn't have cars back then. They did have chariots and horses, camels. You know, they didn't have the streetlight deals the stoplights that beep and the blind people know when you're supposed to walk and when you're not. You know, they learn all that. But he had to have somebody help him. He could not. He had to have somebody else. He couldn't take all that responsibility on himself. He couldn't. But when he heard that Jesus was coming by, he didn't wait for somebody to say, "Hey, this is your opportunity to get your healing. This is your opportunity." He took responsibility for himself. You know, we're going to have to take our responsibility for ourselves. You know, how many times do people call somebody else, "Will you pray for me?" Well, it's all right to ask somebody to pray for you, but my dad always told me, he says, "Son, learn to pray for yourself because nobody cares about you like you do." That's what my dad always said. Any of y'all ever hear Brother Hagin say that? I see Rich King back there. He's waving his hand. I see his grandson back there. He's waving his hand. Because that's what Dad would always say. Hey, learn how to pray for yourself. I remember one time a guy, every time Dad got around him, it didn't matter where we were. We'd be to a convention. This guy'd come up, "Brother Hagin, you know, pray for me, pray for me, pray." Finally, one day, my dad looked at him and said, "Why don't you learn to pray for yourself?" And if you know Dad, my dad, that's the way he would say it. Because this guy had heard him teach and teach and teach and teach, and he still wasn't getting a hold of it. And Dad was sort of exasperated with him, and he just said, "Why don't you learn to pray for yourself?" He said, "What would you do if you're stranded out by yourself? You have no way to get to anybody. You can't call anybody. You can't do anything. You can't get somebody to pray for you. What are you going to do?" And the guy sort of looked at him with a blank stare. Like we say down there in Texas, out there, a cow looking at a new gate. Most of y'all people don't understand that, but If you close up a place and put a new gate in, you got to herd the cows through it the first time, because they just come up there and look. They'll go and stand where the other gate was, and then you show them where the new gate is, and they stand there and look at it. You know, he looked at him, you know, and finally he said, "Well, I guess I'd have to pray for myself." Dad said, "Right. So learn how to pray for yourself." You see, so many, I'm sorry to say that we get calls around here, and thank God for people calling in to pray, and we do pray for them. But, sometimes they don't know how to take responsibility for themselves. I mean, before Dad passed away, people used to come in here, "Want Brother Hagin to pray for him?" "Well, Brother Hagin's not in town. He's out somewhere." "Well," I said, "I'm Brother Hagin. I'll pray for you." They wouldn't have got anything in the first place, because they were looking to the arm of flesh, not to God, to do it. That's the problem when people don't take responsibility to pray for themselves, get somebody else to pray for them. They're looking for somebody else to get the answer for them, and not taking any responsibility for ourselves. We gotta be responsible for ourselves with God. Hello, y'all. Some of y'all look at me sort of funny tonight, but I just thought I'd talk about that for a moment. All right, now, what is the second thing he did? What is the second thing he did to change his life? The first thing, he took responsibility when the opportunity presented itself with Jesus being there. He took the responsibility to call out for healing. Now, what's the second thing he did? There is not any use of him speaking up and calling out to Jesus unless he believed that things were going to change. There's no use to have people pray for you if you don't believe nothing. If you don't believe it's going to change, their believing's not going to change it for you. You got to believe for yourself. I mean, it says when he heard of Jesus, he began to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He began to shout. Begin to shout. Why did he begin to shout? Because he had heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. Everywhere he went, he was doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He had heard about this Jesus. You see, it said he realized what was going on. And then they came to Gergesa and his disciples, and together went a large crowd. Were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was standing by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus. Now, you got to put yourself in his position. He's sitting beside of this road. That's probably his place. They probably take him there every day. They take him there. Somebody takes him there. And he's used to people going by. But all of a sudden, this is different. Something's different here. It's a large crowd. He can't see. He probably asked somebody, what is happening? What's going on? And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he took the responsibility on himself and he began to cry out to Jesus. But there's no use to cry out unless you believe something's going to happen. See, there's no use unless crying out to him unless you believe it's going to change. It would have been a waste of time for him to jump up and take responsibility and call out to Jesus unless he was convinced that something was going to change. You know how many people just pray to be praying? I'm sorry, but it's the truth. They just pray to be praying. They don't really expect it to change. I was associate pastor. And a lady was always requesting prayer for her husband to get saved. When he did get saved, she quit coming to church because he wouldn't come with her. Now he started coming to church, she quit coming to church. She really didn't want him to get saved in the first place. She's just saying that. He's looking at me funny, but it's the truth. There are many people that pray about things and they don't believe they're ever going to happen. If they do, they're surprised. It's the truth. I've been around this all my life. I've watched it from time I was a young kid. I've watched stuff like this go on. You know, what is the use of him calling out to Jesus unless he is convinced that it's going to change? Hello. Now, I'm going a little fast, but I want you to notice here, he knew what he wanted. He took responsibility, called out, and he knew what he wanted. When Jesus said to him, "What do you want?" I'm going to paraphrase it. His answer was immediate and direct. I want to see. You know, sometimes we go to the Lord and we're talking, and it's just vague what we're saying. You know, I've told this hundreds of times, but it fits right here. You know, I guess I was first grade, second grade, maybe in school. Of course, y'all got to remember, I was in church. I was born on a Sunday, and in church the next Sunday, I went to the platform when I was 19 months old. And I've been on platform ever since. Somebody said, "Don't seem like you ever get nervous on platform." I said, "Why? I've been there all my life. I don't. What is it? Oh man, I get up and I just get on the. I mean, I'm showing people this church and walk them up on the platform, and they look out at these pews and say, "Oh, this just makes me nervous looking at empty pews." I said, "What in the world's the matter with you?" But I know. They'd come to the altar to pray. And as a kid, I used to watch Dad. He'd go down and he'd say, "What are you praying for?" "Well, nothing in particular. I'm just praying." He said, "That's what you're going to get. Nothing in particular." I mean, he'd go down the aisle. I mean, and right down, every one of them. "Don't wait. I'm just praying, not praying for nothing." Well, it's good sometimes just to pray. But if you need something, you better be specific. Spell it out. You know, when you if you need healing, then call it out. What call out what you need, what kind of healing you need. I just need healing. Well, wait a minute. Healing for what? Well, I don't know. I just got something matter with me. Well, go find out what's the matter with you so you can be specific when you ask God for healing. You can pinpoint it. Hello? So where do you learn that? I learned that from my dad. I grew up in his house. It's so funny how people that read his books and listen to his tapes back, you know, and now then CDs, try to tell me what he thought. And this is what Brother Hagin believed. You know, I get so disgusted sometimes at people trying to say, you know, I hear them sometimes on the television talking about Brother Hagin this and Brother Hagin that. And one day somebody said something on television. I looked at Lynette and I said, that's a flat out lie. Dad, that's not the way Dad believed that. That's their interpretation of what he said or what they read. Hello, come on now. How'd I get off on that? Oh, well, anyway. It's good. I won't take it back. I got off on it talking about being specific, knowing what you want to pray for. See, you just if you need healing, then fine. If it's an ear, then be specific, because everything that has a name has to bow to the name of Jesus. Call the name of it out. A lot of times when I'm praying for people, and especially if I'm praying for a person that has some sort of muscular disease or paralysis or something, I'll have Rich out in the Crusades. I always have him find out what's the matter with them. Because when I deal with that person, I want to be specific in what I'm dealing with them. He was very specific. He immediately said, I want to see. Well, you know, he could have said, well, Lord, you know, I can't see. So would you pray for somebody that will be a benefactor for me so I don't have to sit out here beside the road and beg? Come on now. See, he could have been there. He could have said that. He could have prayed for somebody to build him a house and take care of him for the rest of his life. But he was specific. He didn't just say, well, Lord, you know what I need. You know better than me what I need. So just whatever I need, that's what you can do. You know, that's the way some people pray. Whatever I need, Lord, just give it to me. Well, be specific. He said, I want to see. Now, there's another thing that he did. He had to not be concerned about everybody else and what they were saying. See, they rebuked him and told him, shut up, be quiet. Where I come from down in Texas, putting the translation we would put on it, they said, shut up, you old blind beggar. We can't hear what Jesus is saying. That's the way we'd say it where I come from. Some of your other places, they might be more diplomatic, but down where I come from, that's the way it would be. Now, somebody said, well, why would they tell him to be quiet? Because as the rabbis and the teachers would travel, walk through, going from city to city, they many times would teach as they walked. So they probably were trying to hear what he said and wanted him to shut up because he was causing them not to be able to hear. You know, people will always try to tell you why you can't get what you need from God. They'll try to get you to quit confessing the word of God. At that moment, when they told him, be quiet, he had to make a decision. Do I just sit here and sing, come by here, Lord, and well, the Lord's coming by? What are you going to sing it for? I know, you know, people sing, come by here, Lord, you're in church. He's supposed to be already there with you. Why are you asking him to come by? He's already there. That's just a side thought. But, you know, they would told him, be quiet. Now he had to make a decision. Do I fold under the pressure of the people? And if you'll study out the two words, in the first time that he called out is one Greek word. The second time he called out is another Greek word. The first Greek word is just a normal shout out to somebody. The second Greek word is like somebody screaming that's drowning. It might be, but I mean, are in peril, in terror. I mean, that's the kind of scream it is. Strong says almost an animalistic type scream. And Jesus stopped. And called him to him. But now, wait a minute. You see, another thing that people do sometimes, they wait for the right timing. Stop waiting for the right condition. He didn't wait until he was alone with Jesus. It says here, a large crowd. He couldn't see Jesus. If he had, I may, because the crowd was there. You know, it might not have been the best time for the rest of the people, but as far as Bartimaeus was concerned, it was his time. They told him to be still, not bother Jesus, but he did anyway. He did anyway. He is taking his own responsibility and he is going after what he wanted. Now, I want you to notice that after all of this has taken place, he did something that is very interesting that most people don't pay a lot of attention to. And it says, throwing aside his cloak or coat, he went to Jesus. Now, the same people that told him to shut up, be quiet, now when Jesus wants him, they're ushering to him. Oh, he wants you. Come on. But when he got up off of the ground, because it said he was sitting on the ground, what the Bible said. So when he got up to go to Jesus, he left his coat. Now, that is very significant because if you study that time in history, the outer cloak that people wore, the soldiers, everybody, it denoted their station in life. That cloak, that coat said, I am an outcast to society. I am a blind beggar. Now, he did something. He took responsibility. He called out to Jesus. He expected something to happen. And when Jesus called to him, he did something that was not, he was not supposed to do. It was a dramatic, bold move because he was not supposed to go around anywhere without this coat that said who he was. He left it. You may have to leave some stuff like he left his coat on the ground. He left his coat on the ground. It was a bold thing to do. That meant, I am no longer going to need that thing. If you want your life to change, you're going to have to get involved with God. You can't afford to wait. You got to begin right now to take responsibility. There's so much in here that I see in this besides the healing is I see an individual coming to Christ, taking responsibility for himself, and then he believed that things could change, you know, and then he knew what he wanted. He didn't hum-haw around about it. He knew exactly what he wanted, and he could care less about what those people thought about him. Day and age we living in, sometimes people more concerned about what the people think about them than they are what God thinks about them. They're more afraid of what somebody going to say. And then, you know, he didn't wait for the right condition to call out to Jesus. He called out when Jesus was there. He didn't, you know, some people wait around. You know, I've noticed a lot of times that I'll be ministering and preaching and so forth and so on. And I call for people to come up to in the prayer line, but then they'll come up to me afterwards and say, "Would you pray for me?" And I said, "Why aren't you coming to prayer?" "Well, I didn't want to get up in front of everybody." I usually am nice and just pray for them anyway because they ain't going to get nothing. If they had any faith that they was going to receive, they'd have got up there when I made the first call. No, they won't. And then some people just won't. They want that one-on-one stuff, you know. Well, if there's a call made and it concerns what you are doing, you better, where you're at or what you need, you better get up there and get it. Because you know what? That's when the anointing for that is moving. People come up to me all the time and ask me to pray for them after I've had a healing line. I go out and pray. I don't say anything to them, but I can tell them right then, if you would have come there, I'm operating under a healing anointing. Here, when you come up to me afterwards, I'm just praying for you like any believer can. Because that's the way the gifts of the Spirit work in that area. And I don't have time to teach on that. You'd have to learn for yourself. And he did something. He left that coat that said he was a beggar. When he left that coat on the ground that said, "I'm a beggar," he was saying, "I no longer will need that." His faith was at that level. "I will no longer need that. I got to go get me a new coat." See, he after Jesus healed him, after he got healed, he had to go to the tailor and get him a new coat. Because he couldn't wear that one no more. Because he wasn't no more was he an outcast. No more was he a blind beggar. You know, you need to take responsibility and believe that you can change and believe that things will change. And you need to have clarity on what you need when you go to God. And you got to quit listening to what others say and listen to what the Word of God says. You know, people are always, I sometimes get disgusted at Christian television. I realize we need it, and I realize it's doing a good thing, but sometimes I get disgusted at it, at the different things. If you listen to it long enough, at the different things that people are saying on there, that's not even the Word of God. The thing I get the most upset about is that them trying to put healing and an offering together. Healing is for everybody, whether you ever give a penny or not. But have you ever noticed on there sometimes they put it with, they put receiving the healing with an offering? Anybody ever noticed that but me? I get sort of disgusted at that. I say, healing is free, just like salvation is free. That's my soapbox. And then do something. You know, people are believing God for certain things. I tell people all the time, you believe in God for a car, clean your garage out so you can get it in there when you get it. Do something. One person came to me one time and they said, "Well, I'm believing God. We need washer and dryer. We got a laundry room. We don't have a washer and dryer." I said, "Well, if you got one, what would you? Why? Well, we had to clean it out because we're using it as a storeroom now." I said, "You're praying and believing. Yeah, we believe God." I said, "No, you're not." "What? No." I said, "If you was actually believing God that you're gonna get that washer and dryer, you'd clean that place out and get it ready to hook up that washer and dryer." Yeah, that's good. Come on, Pastor. Do something. Y'all looking at me funny tonight. Hey, I just thought I'd talk to you a little bit out of my heart tonight. This is, you know, this is sort of the way I live. It's the way I learn. You say, where are you learning all that? I learned it from growing up with a man by the name of Kenneth Hagin. That's where I learned it. That's the way he did it. That's the way he if he was believing God for something, he got ready for it to happen. I've heard him tell people hundreds of times, people come talking to him about healing. He said, see yourself healed. I heard him tell one man, see yourself driving that car. What's he trying to get them to do? He's trying to get them to do something that will activate their faith. See, the faith was activated when he left that coat on the ground. That's the faith was activated right there. I ain't got time to go into no more of it. Anybody get anything out of what I said tonight? Everybody stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the word. I pray, Father, that people would receive tonight. And may every one of us that needs something, may we grab a hold of these things. And may we start learning how to believe for ourselves and pray for ourselves. And may we do the things that is necessary to prepare to receive what you have got for us. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Don't forget the announcements. Connection team, go find first-time guests and take them to that room so they can get their special gift that we got for you. We're glad to have you with us tonight. If you're looking for a church home, always say church. Welcome home. Just come on, be a part of us. If you need salvation, if you need rededicate your life to God, if you need a no-so experience, I mean, the day and age we live in, we got people that go to church and yet they just go to church, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. You can have a no-so experience with Christ. As we're dismissed, we got our prayer team on each side. Come down, they'll pray with you. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason, come down to the front. They'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you come, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget all the announcements. And don't forget that Sunday night is 6 o'clock. We changed starting last Sunday night. And everybody seems to like it a lot better. So praise the Lord for that. Any other announcements, guys? Any of you guys got anything? All right. Turn around, shake hands with somebody. If you need prayer for something, come to the front now.